Tēnā koutou, kātou. I'm Daniel. First off, I'd just like to say I didn't think I'd be up here speaking and sharing my thoughts unless it didn't mean a lot to me what we're talking about. The issues that we've prayed on, they're local, they're in our communities, they're in our families, so it's very real. What we're talking about. Just last week, I had a really interesting conversation with some 11-year-old boys at school. We run a mentoring group. My one is called Manatane, because I have all the boys, and Rebecca runs Manawahine with all the girls. Very different set of problems, and very different set of people that we work with. Anyway, we had a discussion on the world and just on the environment. This has always been a big topic. People talk about global warming and the ice caps melting and all these disastrous events. You know, we've been talking about that for ages. Lovely, lighthearted conversations, of course. We were talking about them, and I wondered just what their teachers teach about it. You know, do they often talk about it? And do they talk about the world becoming worse as time goes on? And when the kids are adults, is there a picture of, in the future, everything just goes downhill? And some of the boys talked to me saying that they had feelings of pressure. These huge environmental things that are happening everywhere, they feel will somehow eventually affect their lives, but at the same time, there's nothing that they can do about it. That if they were saying, you know, if our top scientists are worried for what's to come, then what can they do about it except just worry? All they can do is something silly like stop using plastic bags or change the brand of clothing that they buy because it's not made in a sweatshop. Or they can start buying cage-free eggs to free all the animals. And if these are the little things that they can do, and at the same time, they feel it's like the only thing that they can do, and that it really probably won't have much of an impact on these big issues that we all talk about. This conversation went on for a while, and I wondered, are there other sorts of issues for them that feel overwhelming, which seemingly they can't solve really until something happens like, I'll reach 30, I'll grow up, and that will leave me. Or, you know, I'll get a bit of money, I'm gonna get rich, no more problems then. And, of course, none of these boys love talking about their deepest fears and their insecurities. No one does. Especially not in a group context, which is kind of how we do things. We have a schedule where we will meet them in groups and just run through things, talk about all sorts of topics. So we started talking about that, these overwhelming issues that they all feel kind of universally. And I started talking about what I see in their jokes, in their music, in the way they talk about themselves. And we discussed how this all kind of wraps into this new culture that they feel. they're a part of. You know, we're all dysfunctional teenagers. We're all depressed. But that's the norm. That's the norm. So, you know, we fit in that way. Why should we feel any better? Why do we deserve any better? Lovely. You kind of go and you step aside. Whoa, all right, nice. You look at it as a picture. You go, oh yeah, people talk about, oh, here's our teenagers. They're all depressed. Hopeless. Big hopeless scenario. What can we ever do to make an impact on that? Stresses on how they are shown on social media, how they're reflected on it. Does it show them in a good light, the light that they want themselves to be seen as? Stresses of all types of the relationships they're in, their family issues. They can't even get away from that. That's hopeless. I got to live with this until I can move out. Yeah, move out. When can I move out? If I get into start a job, I get min wage after I finish school, or, let's go to university, get a degree, and then not get a job, because no one's getting jobs there anyway. So when am I going to leave this family scenario? Will I even live to be 50 years old? I don't want to be 50. Yeah, they don't want to grow up. They don't want to live forever. Oh, it'd be nice if I die young. There's no way I'm going to buy a house anyway. Hopeless. What can I ever achieve in my life that's even noteworthy or worth doing? I'll leave school, probably won't even be able to feed myself, let alone get a house. Maybe I combine my income with my partner. Still won't be able to get a house. And that's the issue we face. Right there, all the fear and the doubt. I'm not good enough, yeah, no, I'm dumb. I'm useless. That's how they feel. For me, in my life, when I was coming about to the ripe age of teenagers, 14, 17, that kind of gap, I looked at myself and compared myself to my younger self when I was an innocent young boy. And I start to compile all these things I dislike about myself, all these niggly little sins that are ungodly and shameful. I'm greedy, not godly, not holy. That's what it feels like. If you're in the wrong, you are the wrong. You are the sinner. You are the problem. These feelings, these sins, they overcome you and they shadow and they tower over you. If I somehow manage to stop or I become holy again, Now I'll get out the way of the shadow. I'll step out of it. I'll be in the light of the Lord. And I'll be a real Christian, a decent human that I think everyone else is, but I'm not. And I'm stuck in the spot. You see the shadow, this big mountain, and I want to climb the mountain. I want to climb to get over it, because then I'll be what I think I should be, what I think people think of me. So I start to climb this big old mountain. I want to see the sun. It's been years since I saw the sun, but no one knows that. Somewhere along the way, about, a few hundred meters up, I get a bit tired. And this promise to myself that, I'll do all these different things in my life. I'll get over the mountain because I'm going to stop doing the other things. I get up a little way. Something happens, I do something, I regret, I start disliking myself again. Fall all the way down. Now the shadow's bigger. Now it's too big. My struggle, my hopelessness that I felt in that moment has always been about self-worth. Do I hold up to these expectations that I hold for myself of each area of my life, or do I fall short? Am I good? The Lord shines on me? Am I over here? Am I still under the mountain? Am I the bad person? The problem? So since I'm the problem, this period of my teens, in my eyes, this is a block between me and God. I can't show my face to Him. If I pray, I'm a hypocrite. Can I pray for others? No, I'm a hypocrite. So I'd make promises to God, things like, I'll stop, I'll get up this mountain, then there'll be no block. Then I'll feel like I'm reasonable, I'm a decent Christian. Then there's no block. Then we can have a nice relationship. I can do great little Christian things. Looking back on that, I realize I'm just judging myself. People say, saw this experiment actually on YouTube, good old YouTube. There was a one-way mirror, and someone would walk into the room, they just kind of look at themselves, and say to the camera, oh yeah, this is what I think of myself. Big nose. Got quite a big nose. Bit ashamed of that. My cheeks, they're kind of red. A little blushy. It's kind of embarrassing. And in the social experiment, no one else could hear them. And they recorded that. And then behind the wall, behind the glass, they've got about a few different people that are looking at the person who's judging themselves. They're not hearing what they're saying, but simply the people just ask them what they think of the person who's describing themselves. And they go, oh man, he's got nice little cheeks, eh? It's kind of attractive. I kind of like that about him. It really forms the character, the way that they look. Everything that was bad about them, they pointed out themselves. They judged themselves. We always, always judge ourselves far worse than other people judge us. And we think we put this value on ourselves. We think that's what God thinks. That's what God thinks of us. This judgment. So really it was just me judging myself all along. My name means only God can judge me. I kind of thought about that for a good few years, and that changed my mindset a little bit. I stopped judging myself, but then still a big old mountain there, isn't there? If I just stop judging myself, that's not going to happen. I'm going to judge myself all the time. Always. That's what we do. You're judging yourselves now. Do I look all right for church? Yeah. Am I being respectful enough? Am I looking at Dan? Am I looking in his eyes, or am I looking away being rude? Big event for me. 3 years ago, I believe. There was a pretty bad week. Pretty bad week of going and blocking myself. Feelings about myself were down, like, you know, how can I show myself to others, this side of me, this bad side? I can't do that. When you start to focus on the bad, you believe you're a bad person. So that was a rough week, but same time at the end of the week, we were praying for something after a bit of worship. It was a time that we were all together at Easter camp. Always a good spot, lots of prayer, lots of honesty, lots of opportunities for God moments. So we were praying about something that wasn't even relevant to what I was feeling or whatever. And I hear something. What's coming to me? You're all right. You're fine. There's no block. These things you think are so bad that you do, can't even see them. That big old mountain, I stepped over it, it's not even there anymore. You're all right. And old John, where is he? There he is, he looks at me. He goes, not sure about this, but I think God's telling me to tell you something. No idea what it is. Friend of mine goes, Dan, God's telling you something right now. You know that, right? Because I'm hearing it too. It's kind of loud. Yeah? So that was cool. And this feeling that I've only felt once before, that one time being me being 7 years old, I think, something like that, on my bed. I was doing the classic kneeling. A bit embarrassing, but I thought I'd do it. Got on my knees on my bed. God, please let me be a Christian. Let me into your heart. I'm letting you into mine. In that moment when I'm 7, that's a good amount of love. Real love. Why am I feeling love when I'm talking to my ceiling? Who knows? So I feel that same feeling again. I feel it in that moment when I feel these words coming to me. There's big old John staring at me going, someone's talking to you. Later in the night, we were kind of sharing some prayers and thoughts about each other. And Hannah, good old Hannah, bless her, eh? She felt a bit of scripture coming to her. She thought, applied to me. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Yeah. Ooh. That was another big moment, same day. Same feeling. Ooh. I don't feel that often. That's a significant moment. This image comes to me. And, you know, I'm always feeling that I'm seeing this image of the big old mountain, big old scary mountain. But this image comes to me. I'm in a valley, big old valley, no chance of me climbing up. And I'm sitting down, and there's a spotlight on me. That's it. Everything else is dark. It's just me in the spotlight. I try and get out of it. Whoop. Follows me. What's that about? And this is an image that's very close to me. Because it's me. It's me there. That light, that's hope. That's God. I'm untouchable. Me. Because God's there, because that's how He sees me, but the way that God sees me, that's who I really am. I'm that untouchable person. And that image, it's pretty clear. I'm always coming back to it. And it's kind of poetic. Do love my poetry. Do love that side of God. It's always a little poetic because He goes, oh, there's a mountain? You don't see the sun? Let me just shine the whole sun right on you. Yeah? Oh, you think these things make you bad? Nah, those things, they make you human. That's just you, and they're not even big things. They're not even big things, Dan. You're all right. In my eyes, you're perfect. You're untouchable. I can bear through anything because God, He breaks through with that spotlight. He shines on me. I am so good. I'm all right. And it's that hope, an image of myself that I never felt before that. All I saw was the things overbearing on me and casting a shadow. This value of self-acceptance. You know, it wasn't a journey. It wasn't a journey of feeling terrible self-worth to eventually getting up to accepting myself. It was God just... acceptance. The block, that's you. I don't see a block. That's in your head. There's no block, mate. I love you. Don't hide that from me, because I see it. And if that's the worst part of you, then damn, you're a bloody good person. If that's the worst part, that's the worst part, mate. You're good. So I encourage you right now, see yourself in the spotlight. You're untouchable. If God's giving us the spotlight of hope and He lives in us, there's that hope in us. That Christian unbreakable hope is in us. And it shines out. It does. Really. You don't think it is, but whether it's simply just shining a bit of hope just by accepting someone else, just by going, yeah, you got these things that people don't really accept. I mean, that's just you. I'm not here to focus on them. I'm just here to have a bit of fun, to accept you. Just doing that for someone, that gives them a lot of hope. And that for me is big. Does anyone have any feelings that they felt from the prayer, if you did a bit of prayer, that they'd like to share? Whether it's good or just you felt just hopeless. Am I doing anything? That's me. That's what I feel. I go into school. It's just me. Just me walking around. Well, I'm the church ambassador. Yeah. I kind of walk around and talk to them. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, what am I doing? Is this helping anyone? So if you felt like that in your prayer, and you saw what you had to pray on, and it's something like, you know, suicide. Yeah, great, it's just me sitting here in this empty auditorium just trying to pray about suicide. That's real. You feeling hopeless? That's what we all feel. But we still got to remember, if God lives in us, that hope always shines through for everyone that you meet. Whether they think when they're, you know, in their 40s, man, the way my dad just treated me and talked about the Lord, it can really help their self-acceptance. And you really don't know what kids are going through. And it doesn't even matter what they're going through. Because everyone's different. Everyone's going through something different. Everyone's feeling it a lot more. Everyone perceives these bad things that happens to them a whole lot differently. And, you know, we sit here and we go, great, teen, depression, suicide. Woo! So, yeah. Firstly, I just encourage you, see yourself in that light. It's love and it's acceptance and it's real, that spotlight. That's how God sees you. And he's shouting at you. His heart is all for you. He loves you with everything he's got. And this heartache that he feels for the young people, he sees what they go through. And for me, when I see what they're going through and I hear what they're talking about to me, what's going on at home, it just breaks your heart. It really does. Because this is, you know, my friends. They're my friends. They're my community. It's just heartbreaking. And that's how God feels. The value of themselves is just nothing. It's nothing. Then that's why his heart aches for them. So I encourage you to keep that hope. That by something as simple as accepting someone for who they are can really make a difference. Maybe not right away, but even when they grow up and they start thinking about how you treated them, they can learn to accept themselves. Hope. We're built on hope. That's what we do. Never give up. So, keeping that feeling of we have hope, what can we do for them? Finish it off. What's the time, by the way? Oh, you good? All right. 45 minutes left. You say 11:15 or 2:15? Oh, mate, it's 24 hours. It's almost up. But we've got one last thing we're going to do. So keep that hope. And Philip's going to describe what we're doing for the remainder. We're going to experience all this.
Right, it's your job now. We've got some paper and some pens in the front. I would like you.